I thought it would be appropriate to speak about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai because it's Lag BaOmer. And so he made a famous statement within probably what's got to be the most famous story of his, which is in which appears in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Gimel. It's on Lag of Shabbat, Lag BaOmer. Apparently, there's no. I don't think it's a coincidence. But in any case, so the story is a famous story. Rabbi Shimon was with two other rabbis, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yehuda said, "Wow, how great is it that the Romans have set up things in this town? They made marketplaces and bridges and roads and all these great things." And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said they did it all for themselves. They made marketplaces to set up for zonot. They made bridges so they could collect fees. They made bathhouses so that they could have a nice time. So,
and Rabbi Yossi said so.
And exactly. And then, so this story became known to the Romans, and so the Romans came to kill Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So this first quote picks up from there. Azalhu ubno. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Eliezer, they left. They left their town v'nichba'u bebeit midrasha, and they went to go hide in the Beit Midrash. Kol yoma haita ishto meviya lahu lechem v'chad katan demaya v'achlu. So every day, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's wife would come and bring them food and water, and they were able to survive. Ki takif gezerta amar le harashbi le brei le Rabbi Eliezer nashim da'atan kala alehen. So the gezerot, basically what he's saying is that it seems that the Romans were putting on more pressure and trying to find him, and so he decided it's not safe to stay in the Beit Midrash anymore. And so,
it's sort of a silly place to have hidden in the first place.
Well, yeah, I guess. Well, it's well, I guess it's out. Apparently, it's outside of the normal places because it says Azal. I don't know, but you're right. In any case, it was a temporary hideout until they realized that things are going to be more difficult, and so they decided to leave. But why did they decide to leave? Because they figured that his wife is gonna break under pressure. Why? Nashim datan kala alehen.
Okay.
Well, wait. That's a key point now. So it says nashim datan kala alehen, which is roughly translated that women's dot, some kind of aspect of thinking is weak. That's a literal translation, which we'll see is not correct. Okay. So now he says the Gemara goes on and says de dilma mitzare la u magli lan. So he says that perhaps the Romans will pressurize her some way. They will make it difficult for her, and she will reveal their whereabouts. Azlu v'hitchabu b'marta. And so they went and hid in a cave, as everybody knows. Now, the first thing that we have to say here is that this idea of Nashim Datan Kala Alehen seems to be connected to the fact that they're going to break under some kind of physical torture. We figure the Romans will get her and torture her and she'll have to give them in. But Rav Yehuda Henkin says that can't be the meaning. He quotes the next source, this Gemara in Ketubot, Daf Lamed Gimel, and it says, Ilmale Nigduha, which means Laku, Lechananiel, Mishael, Ba'azariah, Palchu, Letzalma. Okay, Palchu, Letzalma means that they would have been Oved Avodah Zarah. So what it says here, the Gemara is saying, we know this famous story of Hananiah, Mishael, Ba'azariah, that they said, you bow to the idol or we throw you in a fiery pit. They said, throw us in a fiery pit, we're not bowing to no idols. Right? Good. So now this Gemara says, but if they had said, we're going to beat you, we're going to torture you, we're going to make you sit in pain, they would have worshipped the idol. They wouldn't have been able to withstand the torture. Now, there's many mefarshim that go to town to try to explain what and how could this be. But Rabbi Yehuda Henkin says as follows: V'nira sherashbi lo chashash sheya'anu et ishto sharei gam anashim einam omdim bifnei inui. And he quotes this Gemara. He says, look. The Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai could not have been worried about the Romans torturing his whereabouts out of his wife, because then he wouldn't have used the term Nashim Datan Kala. He wouldn't have said that women have some kind of weak psychological constitution, because men also break under physical torture. So now, what does he say the meaning is? Ela she'efshar lahazizan nashim, that is, midatan v'neged ritzonan. So he says, basically, what it means is nashim datan kala means that they can be pressurized in some psychological way. You can sort of coerce them, or in a way that you can't with men. So now that is very difficult. I mean, what exactly is this way? What is it? There's some kind of psychological difference.
We just put our dog down yesterday, and my wife is really beside herself about it. She's really emotional.
Right.
And I was like, listen, let's not schlep it. I'll just do it. And she was very annoyed that I wasn't involved in the trauma of the
right. So there, look, there's no question that there's a difference between men and women and how they react and interact and so forth. And you know, this is really pretty presumptuous of me to come and say I'm going to tell you what the difference between men and women is, right? I'm not going to do that, right? And I don't think we should try even bringing like these little stories, because everybody's got their own little experiences.
Let's delete that.
Yeah. So the thing is like this. What I am trying to do is go through some sources that do presume to say that there is some kind of difference between men and women.
Well, he's making
and,
it
right, and I want to, but right, but we don't know. At first, we thought maybe it's physical torture. We proved it's not that. Now we think it's some kind of psychological pressure, and so we need to try to understand that. So, what my goal tonight is to try to understand this in some way. There's many different people who have tried throughout the ages to understand this, and you know, we'll come to some kind of, I would say at this point, food for thought. I'm not going to tell, I don't think I can tell you this is the answer.
What you're saying, this okay? Phrase has often been discussed of what it means?
Absolutely. We're going to see some of those sources now. Okay, so now to get into that idea, I want to show you another place where it says Nashim Datan Kala. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. It's actually in the Rashi on this Gemara. It says, okay, the three dots here are basically, I took out the beginning story. Rabbi Meir is being chased by the Romans for different reasons, whatever. He's also under attack. And so now that comes here and the Gemara says, come Rabbi Meir, arak ata lebavel. So it says, Rabbi Meir got up and went to Bavel. Okay, he's in Eretz Yisrael, so now he leaves. So he's leaving under some serious pressure. So now the Gemara says, Ika de Amri, there are those who say, Mihai ma'aseh, from this one story about the Romans chasing him, that's why he left. The Ika de Amri, mi ma'aseh de Bruria. And he said, there are people who say, no, he left because of this happening, this event with Bruria, who was his wife. Okay, so now, nowhere in the Gemara, nowhere in any sources does it say, what is this ma'aseh with Bruria, except for this one Rashi that I quote for you here. So now, this is Rashi tells us, what is this ma'aseh Bruria? Shepam achat ligliga al sha'amru hachamim bekedushin daf peh, which we'll see in a minute, nashim da'atan kalot alehen. So it happened once that Bruria said, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, that the rabbi said that nashim da'atan kala alehen. She said, that's ridiculous. How could they say that? It has no basis. Okay? Or something like that. I'm trying to fill in the ligliga part. Okay? She mocked it. V'amar la Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir, her husband, answers, chayech sofech lehodot ledivrehem. You will admit at the end that they were right, and that what Chazal say has meaning and importance. So now, v'tziva le'achad mitalmidav l'nasota l'davar aveira. So he went and he told one of his students, I want you to go and seduce my wife. Okay? V'hatalmid hiftzir ba yamim rabim. So this student went and he put on all kinds of pressure on her day after day. Okay? Ad shenit ratzet, until she agreed. Ukishenodala chanka atzma. But when she found out this all was a setup by her husband, she committed suicide. Okay? Very sad story. And now this brings us to why Rabbi Meir left Israel. Va'arak Rabbi Meir lebavel mechamat ksufa zot omeret habusha. And so Rabbi Meir left because the whole situation was so embarrassing. Okay? So now, it's a terrible story, it's a very sad story, but it also adds a dimension to what we're trying to get to, which is, what does it mean, nashim da'atan kala? What is it?
Men might have fallen for that sin.
Absolutely. No, no. Men, we're going to see that right now. Men would have definitely fallen for it. So that's why, okay. So first of all, before we get to that, let's look at what Bruria was talking about when she made fun of the rabbi. So it says here in source number three, it says in the Mishnah, Lo yityached adam im shtei nashim. It is forbidden for one man to be alone with two women. Okay? Aval isha achat mityachedet im shnei anashim. But one woman can be alone with two men. One woman can be alone with two men. One man cannot be alone with two women. Okay? Why? Okay, so now why is this? So the Gemara has an answer. My taima. What is the reason? Tana debe Eliyahu. Hoil v'nashim da'atan kalot alehen. Why is it that women, we can't have two women with one man, because they have some kind of psychological thing which is going to allow them to be pressurized into doing something that they wouldn't normally do. And so then Rashi explains here. Im shnei nashim, mipnei shedatan kala v'shtehen nochot lehitpatot. These two women will be easily seduced by the one man. V'lo tira zu michaverta. Just a sec. So what he's saying is that you'll seduce these two women and they won't be embarrassed in front of each other, and the one will just follow what the other one's doing. As opposed to im shnei anashim, if you have one woman with two men, v'she'achad bosh mechavero, the men will be embarrassed from each other. Okay, so that's the psychology that's being taught over at this Mishnah. Okay, now, from all of this that we just talked about, you're going to say nashim datan kala means they're easily seduced sexually. That's what it means. That whereas, I mean, we're trying to make some distinction between men and women, and so we're going to say that men wouldn't be as easily seduced as women. Men would not be as easily seduced as women. That's what we might think from this, and we would be wrong. We would be wrong, and the Gemara knows that. How does the Gemara know that? The next page, not two pages, not three pages, the next page. This is Kedushin Daf Pei Amud Bet. The next source here is Kedushin Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. You turn the page, and there are multiple stories. I have for you quoted here three different stories. The first one is in small print, the next is underlined, and three different stories of men who get seduced like that. Not like that the Talmid came and said, and you know, bothered her day after day. Here, the middle one is the reason I have it underlined, is because it's with Rebbe Meir himself. Okay, look at the story of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir hava mitlotzetz beovrei avera. So Rebbe Meir used to make fun of people who would sin. And Rashi explains, shenakel hu lehitgaber al yitzro im hayu rotzim. So he says, Rashi explains that Rebbe Meir is coming from this place. It says, it's easy to overcome your Yetzer Hara. You should have a grip. I mean, get a grip. So he would be sitting there watching people who would be sinning and said, you people are just so weak, I don't understand you. The Satan doesn't like when people do things like that. So, the Gemara says, Yom achad idme le Satan ke'isha. So one day, the Satan came in front of Rebbe Meir in the form of a beautiful woman. Okay? Bitsad hasheni shel nahar. But he was on the other side of the river. Okay? So imagine Rebbe Meir is walking along the river, and on the other side of the river, there's a beautiful woman.
No, wait. I have to, for the setup, though, is this after his wife committed suicide, and he's in Babel?
No.
This is while he's still married.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not even sure that it really matters if he was married or not married. Well, because the...
If you're not married, then it's not a problem.
That's true.
I'm not even sure logically what the deal is.
Right, right.
Because supposedly men can do what they want.
Whatever they want. Right.
And it's the women's problem. She's married. She can
right.
do it.
Okay, so but...
Men get away with it. Men have a lot of latitude.
Right. Okay. So, but let's just say that it's an impropriety for this Rav to be going and doing that. Okay. So now, this woman is standing on the other side of the river. Lo hayta sfina v'lachein achaz bechevel v'avar. So there wasn't a boat to cross the river. So he grabbed a rope and started pulling himself across to get to her. Okay. Kishihigia lachetzi aderech. When he was in the middle of the river, Hasatan azavoto va'amar. So the Satan changed his form from this beautiful woman back into the Satan, and he said, and the Satan said to Rabbi Meir as follows: Ilu lo hayu machrizin berakia hizharu berabbi Meir betorato. If they wouldn't be telling me in heaven, there's like a heavenly voice that goes out and announces, do not mess with Rabbi Meir and his Torah. Okay, he's a big guy. Do leave him alone. Haiti, says the Satan, I would mashved damcha l'shtei ma'ay. I would equate your blood with worth like 2 pennies. Okay, the Perush and the Sonsino says I would just destroy you as a worthless creature. Okay, so now that's what the Gemara has to say about Rabbi Meir and his ability to stand up to seduction. Okay, well, what exactly was he violating isn't really the issue. The issue is that he has no business doing this, and we're showing here that men are instantly seduced.
But that's not external pressure. I would view that as an internal Yetzer Hara thing. And I think what the first line is is external pressures.
No, but the next point, what we're saying is that you're able to coerce them psychologically, right? That's what we're saying.
The women.
Nashim datan kala, we said you were able to move them from their opinion against their will, okay? And that's what's being done here, okay? That this whole idea of seducing somebody who has no business being seducing him, or he has no business being seduced, that's what we're talking about here. And so we're saying that Bruria said that, you know, Nashim Datan Kala is not true, and then she was proven wrong through seduction. But it can't be about seduction, because you see that Rabbi Meir was seduced even easier than Bruria. So there's something else going on. Okay, Nashim Datan Kala does not mean you're more easily seduced. It cannot be that, right? Okay, so the question is, what does it mean? So now you might think, okay, what dot? Let's look at the word dot. Dot means knowledge. So maybe they're just not as smart. Right? So, but that doesn't wash either. Because you have here, among many, many sources, since we're talking about Bruria, there's many, many, many sources about how Bruria was smart. How smart? Well, look at this first source. So the first source says, Tosefta Mesechet Kelim. So there was an argument, Tanur Mi'ematai Mikabel Tuma. There was an argument in the Beit Midrash about Tuma and Tahara of an oven. Okay? At the end, they asked the son of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion. Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion was the father of Bruria. Okay? So they asked the son of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion, that is to say, Bruria's brother, what do you think? And he gave his answer, and then Bruria gave her answer. And the end, the last line says here, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba Amar, Yafe Amra Bito Mi Beno. His daughter has answered better than the son. Okay? So she's no idiot.
Could she be an exception to the norm?
She could be, but then that would break this whole thing with Rabbi Meir, who went and proved that she said, oh, you shouldn't be saying that Nashim Datan, and now he proved that you are Nashim Datan Kala are. So it can't be about Bruria and wisdom. It just can't be. All right? And then there's another Tosefta.
She's still being an exception.
Yeah.
And that therefore, when it proves her wrong here, it's even a greater thing than even Bruria on a flat table.
Right. Okay, so then even Bruria, as being the smartest of women, let's say, even she fell, so then all the women are not smart. But she is smart, okay? And she fell, I believe that she fell, and you can see it here, that she is wise. Okay, so if she fell, and she's accepted as wise, wiser than even her brother, wiser than you'll see even the rabbis, there's something else going on. Okay, there's something else going on. Look what it says. There's another discussion about Tuma and Tahara. Rabbi Tarfon, Mitame, Bahachamim, Mita'arim. Okay, so they said, one says it's kosher, one says it's pure, the other one says it's impure. Ubruria omeret shumta min ha-pesach ze v'tole v'chavero b'shabbat. He says, she gives some other answer. She doesn't say it's pure or impure. She says, move this thing to another place, and you can move it even on Shabbat.
Move it on Shabbat.
On Shabbat. She says, you can move this, I think it's a door that you hang it in a different place. Okay, even on Shabbat, we'll let you move it. So she's coming up with some kind of other creative answer. Okay, she's not even getting into the fight of is it this or that. She says, here's a solution, and look what they say after her. Kishne amru dvarim lifnei Rabbi Yehuda amar yafeh amra broria. Okay, so what I'm saying here is that Bruria was a very intelligent woman, okay, and she fell on something.
Because the fact that she committed suicide is an indication of an inability to handle, you know, that type of level of stress and embarrassment. Where a man didn't do that, her husband is sort of like forced out, perhaps, who knows why, but she killed herself.
Right. I mean,
that's a pretty extreme act.
It is an extreme act, but I'm not sure that it says anything about. As a matter of fact, I'm sure it doesn't say anything about Nashim Datan Kala. I think it says something about their whole milieu and what their status was and the whole argument about Nashim Datan Kala. But now, what I want to get to is this third example of Bruria, which is a famous example of Bruria, which actually uses the word dot. Okay, and it says something really amazing. Bruria is teaching Rabbi Meir something about midot, I would say, about morality and about even sort of a religious worldview. So look what it says. Hinehu biryone dehavu b'shchunato de Rabbi Meir. So it happened that there were these bullies, these gangsters in Rabbi Meir's neighborhood. Okay? V'havu ka mitz'aro le tova. And they used to really bug Rabbi Meir. They really made his life miserable. Hu mitpalel Rabbi Meir shehem yamutu. So Rabbi Meir said, let them die. Let these people die because they are just evil people. Right? There's just no place for them. Amra le Bruria ishto. My datcha. What is your dot? What is your... Now, when we say ma datcha in Hebrew today, we mean like, what's your opinion? You know, should we go to the movies or not go to the movies? Ma datcha. Should we buy this piece of furniture or not? Right? It's an opinion thing, but that's not what's going on here. What she is saying here is ma datcha. Where are you coming from? How can you even think that? What is your issue with your understanding of the situation? So now she says, mishum dichtiv yitamu chataim. Ha'im dichtiv chotim, chataim ketiv. So she says, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says that there should be an end to sinners, to sins, not to sinners. Right? You don't say, let there be an end to sinners, meaning let them die. You say, let there be an end to sins. No one should commit sins. Right? V'od kra et sofa pasuk. And so Bruria says to Rabbi Meir, and look at the end of that pasuk. The first part said, let there be an end to sins. V'rashaim od einam. And the wicked people will be no longer. She's saying, if the people stop sinning, then there will be no sinners. That's what you have to work on, is getting the people to stop sinning, not getting rid of the people who are sinning today. Okay? Fine. This is all very well-known story. Kevan di yitamu di yachataim.
I have to admit that her strategy is a difficult one.
Right.
It's a heck of a lot easier to get rid of the sinners.
Absolutely.
I mean,
right.
At the end of the day, to get them not to sin is going to be almost impossible.
Exactly.
It's a lot simpler to get rid of them.
Exactly. I'm with you, and that's why you're proving my point, because we're men. Now, look what it says here. It says, "V'diyatamu chataim v'rashaim odeinam." Right? As we said, the sins will be over, and so the sinners will also be gone because they will no longer sin. Ella, so she says, you should not be praying that they should die. Ella titpalel sheyachzeru b'tshuva. You should pray that they should come back to good ways. V'rashaim odeinam, and then there won't be any sinners. Hitpalel avuram, so Rabbi Meir in fact did pray for them, v'chazru b'tshuva, and in fact he prayed that they should come back to better ways, and they did. They all lived happily ever after. The point is that there's a difference in the dot. The dot of Rabbi Meir, and as we just said here, is just get rid of them. They are worthless human beings who are making our lives miserable. They are not with the program, so let them just check out. But Bruria has a different way of looking at the pasuk. She has a different way of looking. I mean, you can read that pasuk both ways. She has a very specific way of reading the pasuk. She has a very specific way of reading the circumstances, and she has a very specific way of dealing with it. It's much more compassionate. It's much more, invested and long term, and all kinds of other things which we're not willing to consider. And that really brings us to the essence of Nashim Datan Kalam. Turn over the page. So there's a very interesting source. It's a short book written by Dr. Avi Vinroth. It's also available on the DOT site, DAAT. And it has like three chapters. It's called Feminism and Judaism. Now, in this whole long discussion, so he brings a quote from the Baal HaTanya. So the Baal HaTanya started Chabad, and Chabad is Chesed, Chochmah, Bina, V'Dat, right? And so he paraphrases here what the Baal HaTanya's explanation of these three terms is. Chochmah is wisdom, and he says it as follows. He, HaTeoria, HaMufshetet, HaNilmedet, Limud Iuni, Mipihem Shel Acherim. So Chochmah, wisdom, is the abstract theory that's learned in depth from other people. Okay, it's like the body of knowledge that you acquire from other people. Okay, that's what he says. Chokhmah. Bina hi hakisharon hamaasi lohotzi el hapoal rayon mufshat. So bina, which is translated as understanding, as opposed to wisdom. There's wisdom, and then there's understanding. So understanding is taking that wisdom, is taking that. It's the ability to take this abstract idea and make something out of it, okay? To turn it into something else, maybe into another idea or maybe into something physical. But it's the ability to take abstract ideas and make something concrete out of them. V'dat hi akisharon hayisum benechishut toch dveikut b'mesima. So dat is that next level where you take all of this and you concretize it, and you are very nechishut, you're like
persistent,
you're very persistent, and you will not drop the goal of trying to concretize this idea. Okay? Alright. So now...
is there a progression there?
So like they talk about what this Avi Vinroth, so he explains, you can look at it like Chochmah is the idea of building a house, and that the architect has, and Bina is making the plans for it, and Dat is actually, you know, building the rooms, or they. I think there's a pasuk that talks about filling
like,
the rooms.
I think it's more like if you have a problem, you have the dot to go to keep going through it, to find the solution to it. That's what he means by nechishut v'toch dvekut b'mesima. Yani, I have this mesima, and I have a problem, and I have the dot to go through this problem.
And but you,
if that's true, I mean, I've heard things in my home or other places that men seem to be solution oriented.
Right.
I know at home my wife will say something, and I'll make a suggestion. I'm not into the solution. I just want you to hear the issue.
Right. Exactly. I think what the point is, and you'll see it here, is the focus is that is that ability to stay focused on a very specific goal and just do that goal, make that happen. Okay. So now, here he gives you a good. The next two paragraphs really sort of flesh this idea out. Lefichach nira ki ha'amira nashim datan kala. It seems from all this that this statement nashim datan kala eina oseket beintelligentsia hanashit. This is not talking about the women's intelligence. Ela betchuna hamugderet ki kedat shehi nechishut hahachlata. It's this decisiveness. That's what it is, okay? Dat is decisiveness, and it's the persistence to carry through in that decision, okay? Hadveikut ha'ikshit b'yisum rayon ekroni mufshat. Again, it's this persistence to implement an abstract ideal, okay? Mashma'ut ha-davar hi, so what do we get understand from this? Ki nashim nichnu b'gemishut rabba yoter mizo shel ha-gvarim. Women are much more flexible, okay? Men, if you have some kind of rule, so now you have to carry through on that rule, and women are much more flexible about how to do that. And so that's, again, we carry back to Rebbe Meir and Bruria, where Meir said, look, there are wicked people, they should be gone. That's it. And women are saying, well, you know, let's try and work around this. Let's see, you know, maybe if we can be a little more flexible about, you know, how to interpret this verse and how to deal with these people. Okay? Ein bahen ota mida shel da'atanut. So he invents a word here, da'atanut, like being of this da'at idea, of this sort of being very persistent and decisive and only wanting to see and focused on that one ideal. They don't just see everything as fundamental principles that cannot be violated in any way. Okay, there may be some bending that can be done. All right? So he says here, Nechishut chaserat psharot v'kshiot oref l'shem yisumam nashim datan kala alehen v'lo kala kiklal. So what he says here is that if men have this datanut, this dat kashe, that means that we are very focused on certain ideals, on all certain principles, and tend to be less flexible about how to apply them in any way, as opposed to women who are lighter about them. Datan kala means they can take that rule in a lighter mode or lighter manner and try to still apply it, but be a little more flexible about it. Okay, so now he comes back to Adam and Eve. All right, and he tries to apply this idea to Adam and Eve. So he says, "As Zachar, which is really Adam Harishon, hitmoded im svivato hachitzonit hakasha." So Adam had to deal with this external environment, which is very difficult. Right, he was kicked out of the garden. Now he's got to go make food. There's thorns and thistles. It's not so simple. It's a very unforgiving environment. V'davar ze chiyev mida mesuyemet shel chaspus. Venokshut veyecholet amida ikvit halohi hadat. And so being able to deal with such an unforgiving environment where you have to deal and bring your bread home, so that made him very focused and very decisive and very persistent in trying to get something out of this difficult world. Okay?
And also Chava's sin. An example of, she was sort of like talked into it pretty easily by the Nachash.
I mean, exactly. Yes, that's
an example absolutely. Of the very first case of that.
Right. That's true. That's 100% true. I believe that you can also see it in the story with Chava, that where she had this whole discussion, and then the snake brought in and then she saw
her,
right. But as opposed to man who didn't put up any fight, there was no discussion. The pretty wife said, "Eat," and he ate. No problem.
Right.
Okay. So now it says here, Ha'isha, Chava lumat zot, hutal b'meshech hadorot ol gidul ha'yeladim v'chinucham. So throughout the generations from Eve, all women have had to raise their children. It's the burden of educating the children is on the woman. Okay? Yeled yesh lechanech al pi darko. And we know there's a principle in educating children that you have to be flexible. You have to be able to say this kid needs this kind of care, and this kid needs a completely different one. This one needs to be more strict. This one needs more. All kids are different, and so you need to educate them according to who they are, not according to who you are. Right. So he says, b'mida rabba shel roch. Savlanut, regishut, ugemishut. And so the women have to be more flexible. They have to be softer. They have to be willing to accommodate or able to accommodate, right? Being able to see that you can interpret the verse in a couple ways. Being able to see that we're not going to just throw them out, right? That there, yeah, the man says, these are the rules, do the rules, and that's it. And the woman says, look, you know, we can maybe do the rules like this, and we can still fit it in
Don't
like
we call that.
That
when the women have more sensitive and be not, where men have more of this focus dot issue.
Absolutely.
Women seem to be more of the bina component.
Exactly. That's why they say women have bina yetera. Right. And so what's being said here, the solution to in part to our question of nashim datan kala is, and as I said, this is one solution, right? Is that dot means decisiveness and focus, and there's a very important role that plays in humanity. Nevertheless, there is a need for the ability to be more flexible and to be more compassionate and to try and see ways, like maybe instead of it's pure or impure, let's just move that out of here and deal with the problem in a different way, right? So that's what's being said, Nashim Datan Kala. Now exactly how does that fit in to our question with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that he's worried about his wife? Okay?
Well, he needed to be hidden, fed, saved. You know, really, you had to focus on that. And somehow, someone who will...
No, he's worried that the Romans are going to squeeze out of her where they are. So now look.
She'll be focused in her ability to properly protect him.
Okay, so now what I think is a possible answer is based on this interesting study that I read. It was done in 2005, a psychological study about how men and women react to circumstances as opposed to the actual content of a message. All right. Now what they did is they did a study. If you take a look at this picture where it says reduced, natural, augmented, okay? What they did is they took three people. The person at the top with the pointy nose, okay? That is the person who's trying to convince you of something. They took people and they said, I want to convince you of my opinion that on abortion or on whatever. They took some kind of heated issue and they had this person sit there and try and convince this pair of people who are sitting looking at him. Okay? Now, these pairs are men and women. Okay? And so now what they did was, there's the reduced look. Now, when one person is talking to two people, so usually he looks at both people. That's like the normal way. I look a little at you, I look a little at you. We go back and forth. Okay? Now, what they did is they said there are three ways that we can do this. The natural way is in the one in the middle where I look a little at you and I look a little at you. I keep switching. The reduced one is I just look straight in front of me. I don't look at either of you. The augmented one is where there's computer screens in front of each of the people. And so the face is actually looking at both people all the time. So the subject of the test thinks it feels like the speaker is speaking to him directly all the time. So they call that augmented speech.
But that would mean one out of the pair.
No, so
you have a computer screen. Both of them have a computer screen with this, you know, life-size face talking to them. Okay? All right. So now they said, how did people react? So if you look on the left-hand side of this graph, that's how the males changed their opinion based on how people were looking at them. And the right-hand side is how the women changed based on how the guy was looking at them. What is stunning here, without even understanding anything, is that the men's opinion was barely changed. They had their opinion based on what the guy was saying, and it didn't matter if they looked at him, they didn't look at him, they looked at him half the time. They basically had their opinion based on what the content that was delivered. Okay? The women, on the other hand, if they didn't look at them, they didn't agree. And if they did look at them all the time, they really agreed. Their agreement, their ability to be convinced was highly influenced by if the person was just looking at them. This is, I believe, a kind of an interpretation of Nashim Datan Kala, that they are gamish. Okay, they are flexible, they are compassionate, they take into consideration other things in the story.
It may depend if it's a man or a woman talking about
that. That's true also, and I think they played with that as well. I mean, this was a serious study that was done, okay? And so what they're saying is that men are very decisive and men are very focused and men are not looking at all these other things, and so men can say things like, let the sinners die, okay? On the other hand, they can also be focused and realize that this is what's going on, and I'm not going to be distracted by all these other kind of things that are going around.
Why would I be nervous about our prime minister?
but women, on the other hand, okay, they can be influenced, and this is what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was worried about. The Romans are going to come and stare her down and say, "You've got to do it for the betterment of this, you know, country. We're trying to make things happen," and they could squeeze it out of her just based on this graph of coercion.
But Brewer, you didn't fall for that, actually.
Well, I think she did. I think that's exactly what happened. That's what the student came. It wasn't that he was so good looking, but he kept pressuring her and he kept doing, you know, and so he played her out. Okay? And it wasn't an easy game, but he was able to convince her. And that's what Rabbi Meir wanted to show, and that's what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was worried about. And so what I want to say with all this is that there's no good or bad in this story. Okay? If we go back to Bereshit, look what it says. Vayomer Hashem Elohim, lo tov hayot ha'adam levado, e'ese lo ezer kenegdo. It is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helpmate. Okay, now, what does this mean? It's not good for him to be alone. What, he's going to be lonely? He won't have anybody to watch TV with? No. Look what Rev Hirsch says. He makes an incredible diuk in the Lashon of the Pasuk, in the language of this verse. He says, En hu omer, God does not say lo tov la adam heyoto levado. God does not say it's not good for man to be alone. He'll be lonely, poor guy. That's not what the pasuk says. Ela lo tov heyot adam levado. It is not good for existence that man is alone. It is not good for creation that there should be a single individual. Kol od ha adam levado. All the time that man is alone, adayin ha'olam sharui b'lo tov. The world does not have good. Tachlit hashlemut, the whole purpose of completion of creation, sha'aretz tasig b'schuto, that the whole earth will achieve in his merit, lo tusag b'shlemut kol od hu levado. This will never be achieved if man is alone. The two need to work together. What's that? Okay, fine. You're right, but since Adam was created, but yes, absolutely. You need the combination. You need the working together. There's room for the datanut, as we have interpreted, to be decisive, and there's room for the kalut dat to be more flexible, and there's times to be flexible, and there's times not to be flexible, and there's times to be decisive and not. And so, really, as we're saying here, to fulfill creation, you need to have both of these characteristics in place and working together to be zoche to the perfect world that we all wish to achieve. B'mehera, amen. Thank you very much.
That was great.